This is Conversations That Count. I'm Brent Cunningham. This is part two of a conversation that I had with our senior pastor, Derry Northrup, about the topic of our devotional times with God, and we discussed some of the challenges and struggles that we often encounter. So as we jump back into part two of this conversation, I hope that you'll join in and be as challenged as we have been.
You know, one thing I think is important for someone who might be listening who has, they do have a busy season right now. I think of a mom with small children and a dad mm-hmm. with a family, you know, with a lot of young children, and they're up early, you're up half the night, I think that it's very important not to live as a Christian in this guilt realm. And it's one thing I could try to say to people mm-hmm. is get out of that guilt mode, because it might be you go 3 or 4 days, you might go a week and say, oh my goodness, I didn't really have this quality time with God. But you know what? What you were doing in loving your family, your children, taking them to that soccer game, all of that is part of godliness. All of that is part of your growth personally and your development. And so I think it's imperative for people not to get on the guilt wagon, because it'll, you know what? That'll destroy your joy.
Yeah.
If I think I have to go to my room this morning, it would get old. But I go make a pot of coffee and go in there and look forward to watching, you know, the light come around and the joy of things I'm in my life. So it's not just a mode that people should fall in out of guilt.
Mm-hmm. What about the person who says, you know, I really want to be at that place where it is a component of my daily life, of my weekly life, whatever that might look like, but now it just doesn't exist at all. What's realistic? I mean, do I say, okay, tomorrow I'm getting up at 5 in the morning and I'm reading my Bible for an hour and I'm praying for an hour?
Good luck. See, I just say this. The fact that that isn't happening now means that it probably isn't going to happen starting tomorrow. And what I would try to do is ask different questions like this. What is a time of day that it's most possible? Mm-hmm. Secondly, where do I like to be? If you can pick a time in your day that you feel energized and refreshed and your brain is good, and you pick a place that you like to be, you enjoy going, then suddenly what you do there almost becomes mm-hmm. irrelevant. And some people would say it's the opposite. Mm-hmm. It's God first, and then where it is doesn't matter. I think it does matter. If you're going to make a commitment to do this for your whole life, I think it's really important to have places and venues that you enjoy. Some mm-hmm. people can go into a Starbucks with their laptop and really have quality time with God. I couldn't do that, because there's too many people around. But everyone's wired differently. So I think people need to start by, yes, saying, this is something I want to do, I need to do, mm-hmm. and then pick a few places that you would like to be, in your house or outside, or take a walk, talk with God, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And make it a point of doing it often enough. Start with the goal of making it 3 times a week. And don't kill yourself when you don't, or beat yourself
yeah,
up.
But
just start over. And just try it. And keep trying. And you know what? All of a sudden, if you enjoy it. And another last thing is, I don't think it's about how long it is. I was challenged as a teenager one time. Hey, go and take a walk with God. Let him talk to your heart. And when you're done, you're done. Mm-hmm. And if it lasts 5 minutes, it's 5 minutes. And all of a sudden, for me, that 2 minutes turns into 5.
Hmm.
And then I have a nugget that keeps me there a little longer, and then it's a half an hour.
Yeah.
And then before long, I'm wanting to read something else about that topic that I think God just put in my heart. And then I'm running late getting ready to get to the office because it's been an hour and a half, and suddenly I need to get going.
Yeah.
That, to me, is a better way of thinking about devotional life.
Well, and that's a lot more organic, too, isn't it? I mean, that's more, if you think about the kind of relationships that we have with other people, I mean, that's kind of the way it is, right? I might have an accountability partner where I say, okay, we meet every Tuesday morning, and this is, we talk through this, and we ask certain questions. But most of our relationships are, you're sitting in a coffee shop, and someone walks by, hey, man, what are you doing? Reading the paper. What are you reading about? I mean, it's just a sort of a natural, organic relationship, and maybe it would be helpful to even change my whole outlook on, maybe my relationship with God needs to be a little bit more organic. And I just say, okay, you know, what am I going to talk to God about?
That it's a really good point about how relationships happen. You know, I don't just call you up and say, okay, at 10 o'clock every Tuesday, we're going to talk about something.
Yeah.
But it's out of relationship. Let's go to lunch. What are you doing now? And I think you know, one of the first questions that for me, just out of, it's out of habit now, that I start my time with. I'll just sit in my chair, my coffee's there, the fountain's going, I'm relaxed, I'm still in my robe, and I'll just say something like this to God. All right, Lord, it's a beautiful new morning. Show me what's in my heart today. Show me who I am today. Show me where I'm at with you. Are you pleased with me? What's going on in your mind about me? And let's work on me a little while. And it's so refreshing to smile and feel like he's talking a minute to me, and to be refreshed by sometimes even the conviction of the Spirit to identify things in my life that he's wanting me to identify. That's refreshing.
Huh. Do you think that the only avenue that you can really use, or that you should use, to know more about God, to think about him, to know rightly about him, is the Bible? Or is it appropriate to use other resources, other books, things along those lines?
Oh, of course. Other books, resources. There are so many great tools that are out there today. Having said that, when I am preaching or preparing a message, I have just a discipline. I have six different translations of the Bible that I read the text in. And I soak and immerse myself in those translations. I read them over and over. And I try to read them really slow, and I try to think about what this meant to the hearer. What were they hearing when this was read? And I would rather do that first, because when you read a commentator, you read a book, you're already giving your mind to their point of view. If I read a commentary first and then I read the text, I typically am in line with what the commentary has said, and I don't find or dig out new insights. But if I start with a text, and I almost always build my outline without reading any commentary, just reading the text. Because for me, it's the stuff God's pouring into me about that text, and it's personal, and sometimes I end up journaling for me personally, and it's not going to be a part of the sermon, it's just for me in that moment. But then I do believe it's important to go back, especially if you're teaching, to go back and read trusted commentators to make sure you're on track, that this is what was being communicated, that the cultural setting, that you're aware of that, you learn about that. So just devotionally, Brent, I would say it's sometimes some of the greatest devotional moments I have is when I'm reading other helps about the character of God. And it's compiling scriptures and thoughts about the character of God. But it's not just reading a scripture verse. It's reading people's thoughts. And there's so many great tools out there. We should be using them.
Let me ask you a question with regard to a person who is in, say, like a ministry role where they're doing some Bible teaching and things like that. I know for myself, I can sometimes feel that, say, when I'm reading the Bible, when I'm listening to a sermon or whatever, I almost feel like I'm sometimes missing things. I don't know the best way to put this. And that I'm listening for, how could this be a teaching tool? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm not thinking about it so much for God, what are you saying to me? But how could I shape this into something that I could use as I'm ministering to other people?
Absolutely.
Does that make sense?
But that is your life, and that's honest, and that's probably okay. I think there are times, great example of this, Brent, this will help people understand the question, because when I listen to someone speak, unless they've asked me to criticize it and to, you know, keep track of their points and all the things that go into the making of a great sermon, I will find myself sometimes thinking about, that wasn't a very smooth transition, or there wasn't a bridge there to that next point. And then I immediately stop that. And I just grab a hold of my mind and I say, God, show me what is for me out of this message. Same with worship. If I don't know a song, you know, it's so easy for me to just stop singing. And that's not always bad. The other day I was in a setting where I didn't know any of the songs that were being sung. And most of them I didn't care for. And I found myself a little frustrated because I was feeling expressive toward God. I wanted to. And then it just dawned on me. I just closed my eyes. I held my hands out in front of me. And I just began to listen to people sing. I began to enjoy the music. I began to just be a worshiper of God without singing. So that's what you're talking about, is can we personally let God fill us? How do we stop analyzing and using this as a tool? But we just stop and be His kid. Just be His kid for a minute and say, man, Daddy, it's fun to see you. But it's a habit. Do you do that?
Oh, yeah. And I think it's just because, I mean, naturally, I'm more of a critical person. But also, I am thinking, you know, always about, oh, wow, that was a really, you know, a powerful way to explain that. Or, oh, what a beautiful illustration, something along those lines. And so as I listen, you know, to a sermon or as I'm reading, oftentimes I'm thinking, oh, that's a wonderful point. Here's how it could be illustrated. And sometimes I kind of feel like, man, I don't feel like I'm just sitting and basking in the presence of my Heavenly Father, mm-hmm. you know. And so I struggle with that a little bit, I guess, mm-hmm. from time to time.
Well, that's probably why you've got to make sure you have those quality alone times with God, too. It's like mm-hmm. someone who builds houses, every house they go into, they're looking around differently.
Exactly.
And that's just normal. If you, you know, are a race car driver, you're going to critique people's driving, you're going to, you know, there's just always, to the level of your knowledge and your profession and what your calling is, probably even your greatest gifting, would give you probably the more critical eye mm-hmm. in that area, that realm of your life to examine. And so, you know, if you get someone who is really a, you know, a perfectionist on something, they're going to notice clutter.
Yeah.
You know, no matter where they are. And so that's just part of probably who we are and how we're wired to be. But I think what I'm hearing you say is it's important to know that about yourself and to maybe try to stop doing that and to just sit back and soak it in and let God talk to me. You get in organizational meetings, denominational meetings sometimes, and you think, what am I doing here? Is this meaningful? Is this where I should be? And you have to step back and say, yeah, God, you're using this in my life right now. Show me what I can learn in this moment. But it's hard to do.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it kind of goes back to what we were saying at the beginning is, how do I be fully present, right, at this moment with God?
You know, the biggest thing for me on that is to make sure that my mind is not distracted. Sometimes when I sit down with God and I'm talking, if my mind keeps going back to like something I have to do mm-hmm. later, I just make sure it's written down. Mm-hmm. And I'll just stop and write it down or make a note or sometimes even work on it for 15 minutes to get it out of my brain, onto the paper, onto the computer. Then it's not a distraction to me anymore. How can I remove the distractions? That's probably a great question
it is.
For people to... That's why it's this place I'm talking about. That's why it's this sound. That's why it's being relaxed and in a place you enjoy. Because if you remove the distractions... It makes all the difference in your ability to be fully present, fully engaged at the time. That's why Jesus took his disciples away over and over and over. Let's go out here. Let's pray out here. Let's go sit in a boat. Let's go climb the mountain. That's why.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's good. Well, I know for myself, I can't read the Bible at my desk. I've got two chairs across from my desk. And I have to at least go sit over there because I've got my laptop sitting right in front of me. And there's an email that pops up. And right away I'm thinking, oh, I need to respond to that. Or I mean, but it's those distractions. And it's easy for me to think, no, I can focus in. I can do this. But I can't. I mean, so I've got to know what are my biggest distractions. Mm-hmm. What, you know, do I need to take my phone off my belt clip and put it away and you know, not hear the little reminder on my PDA saying I've got something else going on? I mean, it's a matter of really focusing in, isn't it?
You're saying it really well. I think it's important to, you know, turn all that stuff off. Turn all the noise off. What is the noise in your life? Maybe you should identify that first. It might help someone right now to just make a list. What is the noise in your life? Mm-hmm. And some of it you can't turn off if you have responsibilities that go with it.
Right.
But if you can find a time and a place where you can turn that off and you can have quiet and peace... But getting in that environment is critical to where you're comfortable there, you like being there, you look forward to being there. Then it's not work. It's a joy, and I look forward to it every morning. And I think that's where people need to have that place where they can really look forward to it and do it consistently.
For more information on this audio recording or others like it, go to www.brentcunningham.org. All Bible passages read on this recording were from the New International Version, unless otherwise noted.